Hi, I'm Trip Babbitt, host of the Deming Institute podcast. In this week's episode of the Deming Lens, we'll go through point number 11 of Dr. Deming's 14 points. Point 11 is broken into two parts. 11A, eliminate work standards, quotas, on the factory floor. 11B, eliminate MBO, management by objective. Eliminate management by number, numerical goals, substitute leadership. Hi, I'm Trip Babbitt, host of the Deming Lens, and this week we're going to talk about point 11, and it's actually broken out into an A and B part as done by Dr. Deming in Out of the Crisis. So point 11A is eliminate work standards, quotas, on the factory floor, and 11B, eliminate management by objective, eliminate management by number, numerical goals, substitute leadership. Let's listen to what Dr. Deming has to say about point number 11.
Quality to the plant manager is getting his 1,200 items out today. He jolly well better get them out. He doesn't mind if they have quality. That's perfectly all right, but numbers. What people need is leadership and help, not just to be required to turn out so many. That will not bring improvement. That will not decrease cost.
Just about everyone has to have something repaired. Your cable, TV, refrigerator, furnace, air conditioning, garage door. And when these things don't work, it's usually when we don't have the time, but our world stops. When we pick up the phone to get help, we don't get through to someone that can help us. We're put on hold, can't get an answer, or at least can't get a complete answer. So Dr. Deming didn't see this as a people problem. He saw it as a system problem. Quotas complicate the system. Contact centers, repair companies commonly use something called average handle time, or some version of that. Having worked with dozens of contact centers, I can tell you AHT is something that gets paid attention to by most contact centers. How long does it take you to handle that particular call? Well, what you find is a lot of variation in the call. Somebody calling up to know your office hours might just take you a couple of seconds. Somebody calling up with problems with their cable might take a while to diagnose. And so handle time is often determined by the type of call that you receive in a contact center. So to focus on the individual in a contact center is really focusing in on the wrong problem. It's the type of calls that you're getting. And as I've already mentioned, some are going to be longer than others. This is why quotas for things like average handle time or how many calls that you can take in a day, which is really a variation of average handle time. These are all types of quotas that just make service worse. And I've told the story before of when I used to fly really quite often. I was trying to find out about how to fly overseas and what were the requirements and things of that sort. And I was on with an agent, and the agent got on the phone and said, I've got to go. And I said, you have to go. Where are you going? And I said, well, I've used up all my time I can use on this call. So I had to call back, explain my story again with the understanding of what I had called. But that agent was basically being measured on the handle time of that particular call. My call was just taking too long for them to be able to answer. Now, the bad part is I still had to get my question answered, and so I had to call back. And so they didn't really gain anything other than a frustrated customer. And I was platinum with this company, so it's pretty frustrating when you're considered to be one of the best customers and you have to have an agent come to you and say, I've got to go. When you observe what happens when somebody that's coming over to repair something at your house, just kind of watch the next time and you'll see what I'm talking about, especially if you start to look at it with a Deming lens. And I can tell you of a relatively recent episode where I had a cable repair person come over to my house and he was trying to get things set up and fixed at my home. And basically he had a hard time getting through to help at the home office. He would be on hold for 30, 45 minutes at a time. And, you know, he apologized a number of times, but he said he wasn't able to get through on the tech line. So he had to call through on another line. Now, I have no idea what was going on behind the scenes there, but what wound up happening is his supervisor and an HR person showed up at my house to ask this person, who was now into probably the fifth hour at my home, why they were still at my house. And he tried to explain, and I could tell that they weren't really believing the repair tech that was at my house on his story of what had happened. And I actually had to jump in because I was observing actually what he was doing to see if there's anything I could learn to avoid having my cable and my internet go down on a regular basis. I didn't see anything that he could have done better. So the system was broken, but they were definitely after the individual in this case. One of the other parts of point 11, which is 11B, is other than the worker, or Dr. Deming would talk about the factory floor, is in management and the way that MBO is still found in organizations amazingly today. Management by objectives, management by using numerical goals, and usually they're arbitrary numerical goals. And people will defend the fact that they're not arbitrary, that they're very real because they're real to them, but they're arbitrary in the fact that they don't really have a method to achieve those goals. They're just, we got to get 10% this year because that's what we told the home office. So I see this quite often, and it's, as I've mentioned before in other episodes about how the dividend and the quarterly dividend, it kind of starts there because you've got to show that you're going up in sales 5%, you're going to be 5, 10% more profitable in that quarter. And that's very short-term time periods. And working with executives that are traded on Wall Street, it's very difficult to get them out of that particular mode other than they try to find method to achieve those goals. But doing something in 3 months is sometimes virtually impossible. And then you start to see the games being played. The numbers, the early shipments, if you're in distribution or manufacturing, to get enough sales for this particular quarter, or, you know, in service industry, there's all types of different things that are done with some of the numbers in order to make them look better than what they are. And when you don't hit them, you definitely get paid attention to by people that you work with. You didn't hit your quota. You didn't hit, and they don't call them necessarily quotas, obviously, in management, but they're the goals that are set by department. And they filter down. So that quarterly dividend, if it has to go up 10%, then there are certain activities that have to happen in operations and sales and to get the profit up. You have to be able to cut costs and show headcount, and then they start to cut and layoffs. And it's just a very vicious cycle once you start into it. And people are getting a little bit smarter about it. It seems to be taking a very long time, but the management by objectives is still very prevalent that I see today in management. And I would think that we have moved on from it, but we haven't. Instead, today we have things like SMART goals. This is an acronym for specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and timely. And I see this talked about quite often on LinkedIn and a lot of the social media sites. You got to have SMART goals. But Most of these people don't really understand systems thinking, and they certainly don't understand variation and understand what method. Now, some of them will defend that attainable means that, you know, you got to have a method, but it's not really the same thing when you dig down into the definition of what SMART stands for, at least the acronym itself. So we're just perpetuating. This is neo-Taylorism that I've talked about a number of times that organizations are using. It's kind of more of the same. It's a very reductionist in thought and trying to break things down into very specific areas. And it's really eliminates the synergies that you get from understanding a system and how to go about using measurement in that. There's one quote that Dr. Deming said in Out of the Crisis as I was researching point 11 that I think is very relevant. A quota is incompatible with never-ending improvement. And I think that that quote kind of sums it up very well about what a quota is, and now they've been masked because they aren't called quotas and they're called things like average handle time and things of that sort. Sometimes people get confused and think that we're not talking about the same thing, but in reality, we really are. In conclusion, whether you're a worker or in management, you have some type of quota, some type of numerical goal that's associated with your work typically. And I think Dr. Deming's point, well, I know what Dr. Deming's point is it's by what method, how will you achieve it? And having a goal out there can sometimes be something that's limiting to you, because once you hit the goal, are you done? If I hit it two months early in a quarter or 7 hours into a day, do I take another hour off or do I take a month off? And I think that there's something wrong with the whole goal type of mentality, especially as you understand systems thinking and variation in Dr. Deming's system of profound knowledge. Thank you for listening to the Deming Institute podcast. Stay updated on the latest blogs, podcasts, programs, and other activities at deming.org.